Well, if you would this morning, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Very familiar passage. We just read it recently on Wednesday night. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning in verse 18. "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For it shall be, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all the nations before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself." It goes on down. Now these people that he's speaking to had spent 40 years living under God and Moses' rule and their presence. They could have asked any question they wanted to ask and got a good authoritative answer. If there had been a controversy in the home or in the family, if there had been a question of doctrine or practice or propriety, they could have gone to Moses, and they could have got an answer directly from God. We, who maybe have not had godly homes, are called to make one. We, who have not had possibly godly fathers and mothers, are called to be one. We, who have not seen possibly godly husbands or wives, are called to be one. We who have not been godly sons and daughters, possibly, are called to make them. We who have not had godly churches to grow up in are called to build one. We've not sat and listened to the apostles' visit. We've not seen their church services. We've not watched them discipline and train their children. We've not seen them speak to their wives or their wives speak to them. We've not been able to ask Moses or the apostles questions to get an authoritative answer on specific issues which we wonder about or ask about or would like to know about in our churches, in our families, in our marriages, in our child rearing. So, these people had a great advantage. But, we do have the Word of God. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. We are in great danger of making the same mistake that another man made unless we can learn from his mistake. In 2 Chronicles 10, it says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men that the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye, that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? And the young men, obviously, that lived off of the taxes, that were brought up with him, spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Just tell these people they need to get to work and quit complaining. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king bade, saying, Come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly, and King Jeroboam forsook the counsel of the old men, and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word which he spake by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram that was over the tribute, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones that he died. But King Jeroboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. And Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. In 1 Kings 12 and verse 6, the other account of this says, And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. The old men had watched Solomon change, and knew what needed to be done to save the kingdom. This was not compromising truth or righteousness by giving in to the people and pleasing the people in this. It had to do with lightening the load of their taxes. Solomon had originally not oppressed the people of Israel, but only taxed foreigners. In 1 Kings 9 and verse 20, And all the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able to utterly to destroy, upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bond service unto this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no bondmen. For they were men of war, and his servants, and his princes, and his captains, and his rulers of his chariots, and his horsemen. But as Solomon grew older, he changed. He changed his course. He became self-satisfied and hardened his heart. And Solomon proved the old maxim, more is caught than taught. Solomon did a fine job of speaking wisdom, but a poor job of living it and passing it on. Solomon impressed the world, but his son failed, and it was of the Lord, a judgment upon Solomon. In Proverbs 1:7, Solomon says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon was also a product of what he caught. What David allowed in moderation, Solomon followed in excess. Many wives, contrary to the Word of God. And idol worship was brought in to please these wives. In Proverbs 3:31, it says, Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Solomon said all this, and yet Solomon became the oppressor, and probably exemplified his ways, the ways of the oppressor. Rehoboam followed this, and Rehoboam was an oppressor. Rehoboam was froward. Rehoboam was unjust. He was a scorner. He inherited shame. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. That's what he said. Proverbs 28:16. The prince that wanteth understanding or lacketh understanding, it doesn't mean he's desiring it, it means he lacks it, is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. He could say it. He said a lot of good things. Solomon knew. He knew better. But he wasn't willing to come under the same wisdom he gave to others. Isn't it amazing? Why is it that lawmakers seem to think that they should be exempt from the laws that they put on others? Why is it that lawmakers get the idea that they're a different level of humanity and that they can make laws for us that we have to obey, but they don't have to obey them? The Bible says that's a prince that lacks understanding. Okay? That's also a prince that is covetous, and he will not prolong his days. Solomon couldn't dethrone himself, so he could not teach his son how to sit on the throne. So what did Rehoboam catch? We know what Rehoboam heard. We can read it in Proverbs. But we want to know what Rehoboam caught. What did Rehoboam receive? Regardless of what he was taught, what did he receive? Because the next generation, they are not just going to listen to what you teach. They're not just going to listen to what you say. They're going to interpret what you say by what you do.
Right.
And that puts a heavy load on those of us passing on the faith to the next generation. Rehoboam was to be an agent of God, to rule God's people and preserve God's kingdom. But he went about it assuming that what he was doing was the right thing to do. But he could have counseled with the Word of God. He could have counseled with the priests. He knew he had those old men. Those old men had watched Solomon change. They knew that if Rehoboam followed the same course, things were going to fall apart. They remembered when Solomon first began and watched how he became more and more and more an oppressor. And they told Rehoboam, don't follow that course. You serve the people, and the people will serve you. Ease their load. Remove some of the load that your father put upon them. Rehoboam saw himself as a higher level of humanity than the common people. Rehoboam saw himself as having a right to live high at the other's expense. Rehoboam saw himself as having a right to speak legislation, but not live according to it. To speak proverbs, to speak wisdom, but not to have to follow it. Rehoboam forgot where he came from. David was just one of the people. David was just a shepherd boy. But see, Rehoboam was raised during Solomon's reign. Solomon reigned 40 years, and Rehoboam was 41 when he took the throne. He'd been raised, so to speak, with a silver spoon in his mouth. God, yes, God gave Solomon the riches. But Solomon decided what to do with the riches. God giving him the riches was not the problem. Solomon's decision as to how to view himself, how to view the people, and what to do with the riches was the problem. Riches are not evil. Money is not evil. You can be as rich as Solomon and be right with God. It depends on what you do with what you got.
Right.
Right.
It depends on how you view what you got. It depends on your attitude towards other people and their needs based and your rights, what you have a right to have, what they have a right. It depends on all how if you're relating with God properly. Rehoboam valued himself, but not others. Rehoboam valued his time, but not others' time. Rehoboam valued his labor, but not others' labor. Rehoboam valued his comfort, but not others' comfort. Rehoboam valued his happiness, but not others' happiness. Therefore, he was discontent. He was ungrateful. He thought it owed it to him. He thought the people deserved to serve him. Instead of feeling unworthy and thankful, and privileged, and blessed, and humble before God, he thought he wanted more. And when they grumbled about what they were giving him, well, being that you deserve to be there, and I deserve to be here, and that you're grumbling, I'll exact more. That'll teach you. Therefore, he had fun at others' expense. He lived high while others lived low. He got his selfish way while others had to endure injustice. Solomon thought he had to have the best of everything. And he had to continually raise taxes to maintain it. He had to have all these servants and all these maidens and all the singers and this house and all these wives and all their houses. And he had to tax and tax and tax in order to get that. Sounds a little too familiar, doesn't it? Solomon thought he had to have the best, and Rehoboam could not sacrifice the best to save the kingdom. He was willing to jeopardize the unity of the kingdom so that he could maintain his way, his lifestyle, his tastes, his wants, his ego. If Rehoboam didn't like it, he didn't do it. If Rehoboam didn't like it, he didn't eat it. If Rehoboam didn't like it, he didn't have to put up with it. If he wanted it, he got it. If Rehoboam wanted it, he thought he deserved it. But didn't he hear all that his father said in Proverbs? Didn't he read Proverbs? No, he read Solomon. That's what he read. What was Solomon's mistake? We're talking this morning about the generational breakdown. And I want to speak a word of warning to all of us, young and old. What did Solomon do to produce this generational breakdown? Why was Rehoboam such a failure when he had so much potential? The problem is this. Those verses we read this morning about teaching your children all this. Solomon passed on Solomon. He did not pass on the Word of God. He was supposed to pass on the Word of God. He was supposed to pass on God's precepts and speak of them and teach them and live them. But he passed on Solomon. And what he passed on was an old Solomon who had thought he was above the Word of God. He passed on an old Solomon who had stopped following God's Word. He was too smart. He was too big. He was too experienced. That was for the peasantry. That was for the dumb people. That was for the poor people. He thought he had outgrown God's Word. Yeah, that's important, but that's important for young people to hear. But I'm old now, and I don't need that. Solomon was supposed to pass on God's Word, but instead he passed on his resistance to God's Word. Solomon, by not lowering himself under God's Word, he transmitted his own ways and his own ideas. Rehoboam was blindly presumptuous, and not until the kingdom was rent away and he had to jump in the chariot and run for his life because his tax man just got stoned, not until then did he wake up and humble himself. And after that, he actually obeyed the prophet. When the prophet said, Don't go out to war against them. It's of the Lord. He obeyed. He must have woke up. He must have come out of his blind stupor and realized, what am I doing? It's not working. All my presumptuous ways, my assumed superiority, my assumed godlike power and authority. Now they all ran off and I had to run to my chariot and flee to Jerusalem, or they had to stone me too. Wow. Maybe I'm not what I thought I was. How do we keep from passing on ourselves? Well, let's go back and read those verses. It says, "Hear, O Israel," Deuteronomy 6:4, "the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou," talking to the parent, "thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And then, after that, "thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Not your resistance to them, not your excuses for not doing them, not your supposed inability to fulfill them, but "thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine heart," thine hand, "in the sight of thy children. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And then, what you're going to pass on to your children is not you, but the Word of God. You know, I don't want to pass me on. Let me ask you this morning. What imprint are you going to leave on planet Earth when you're gone? Is it going to be your personality? Is it going to be your opinion? Is it going to be your way? Is it going to be what you liked and disliked? Is that the imprint you're going to leave on the Earth when you're gone? On your children, on the next generation? "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates." Two times. God repeated that twice in the Word of God. Whenever you see something repeated, especially that extensive, repeated two times in the Word of God, you better sit up.
Right.
You better think about it. You better ask yourself what you're passing on. We must never become smarter than God's Word. We must never become the exception to God's Word. We must never assume we have outgrown God's Word. And we must never teach the Word unless we're striving to obey the Word. Grandma, Grandpa, Uncle, Aunt, Brother, Sister, what imprint are you leaving? What imprint are you leaving on those who you influence? There was a story of a man who had a very realistic dream that he went to hell. He woke up and he was very troubled, and so they asked him, what was it like? Were there, you know, people crying and cursing God, and was there darkness and all that? He said, yes. He said, yes, but that wasn't the worst of it. They said, what was the worst of it? He said, I was face to face with my influence. My influence on others. How I had influenced others in my life, he said, was the most tormenting thing about hell. I don't doubt that. If you're an 80% Christian, let me tell you that what you're passing on is the 20% lack of surrender.
That's right.
Because that is the most glaring and obvious part. You can do 9 things right, but the one thing you do wrong is what the next generation is going to latch on to. If we speak right and live wrong, we're teaching the next generation to live wrong. Rehoboam didn't see himself as an oppressor. His father did this, and he preached against oppression. He didn't think himself a fool. His father did this and preached against fools. He didn't think himself presumptuous. His father did this and preached against presumption. The Bible says, woe to us if we are many masters, knowing that we should receive the greater condemnation. Now I want to say a word to the youth. As I said already, we, the parents here, we were not raised in this. We didn't follow what was passed to us. Amen? Our churches weren't like this, so we didn't follow what was passed to us in that regard. Our parents weren't what we're striving to be. The fathers weren't what we're striving to be. The mothers weren't what we're striving to be. The marriages weren't what we're striving to have. So we're not just following your parents, the leaders, the elders in this church. We aren't following what was passed to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So yes, we have a responsibility to pass on to the next generation the Word of God and not ourselves. God forbid that we should pass on ourselves instead of the Word of God. God forbid that we should pass on our blurring of the light, the refraction of the light, rather than the light. But, you young people, that doesn't excuse you in the slightest. Amen. Rehoboam had the Word of God. Rehoboam had the priests of God. And Rehoboam had those older men counseling him. He did not have to follow the Solomon attitude. He did not have to follow the ways of the oppressor. He did not have to follow the pride of the prince who lacked wisdom. He did not have to follow that. And young people this morning, your parents are here because they're striving to pass on to you the Word of God. Now, it may be, and it probably is, that the Word of God they're passing to you is tainted and marred by their very person and being and their shortcomings. That's very possible. But that doesn't excuse you for latching on to their shortcomings. It doesn't excuse you for watching their failures. It doesn't excuse you to say, well, that's what Dad did, that's what was passed on to me, so that's what I'm going to do. You have no excuse. You're accountable for the light you have. We as parents have not followed that which was passed to us. Now thank God, what was passed to me was a mixture of truth and error. I was taught in the church, and I thank God, I was taught the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died, rose again to pay for my sins. I was taught that. Now, I was taught a lot of other stuff that would have sent me to hell if I had kept the same mixture. And I could have gravitated to this side over here, and what they allowed in moderation, I could have allowed in excess. Their 20% lack of surrender, I could have followed that instead of following the surrender that was there. And so can you. Rehoboam was a fool, and he couldn't blame Solomon. Now, Solomon was somewhat responsible. Solomon had guilt. Solomon had responsibility there. But Rehoboam couldn't claim that as an exemption. Lay these words up in your heart, parents. When you get to thinking that you have outgrown the Word of God, when you get to thinking that, well, memorizing Scripture, that's for children. You know, holding signs, well, that's good for the young people to do. I'm glad they're doing that. It's good for them to have an outlet. You know, reading the Bible every morning, having devotions, prayer time, that's really good for young people. They've got a lot of decisions to make, you know. They're starting out in life and they really need that. But I've been doing that for so many years, I'm pretty well set in my way. I don't have to do that anymore. Or maybe Boy, you know, putting off the old man, putting on the new. Boy, I'm glad these young people, I'm glad that they're humble enough to be willing to change and to hear the preaching. It's good for them to hear that preacher. We need to keep our young people in church. They need to hear the preacher. But, you know, I've heard that guy for a long time. And, you know, I think I've changed about everything I can change. And, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So, I think I'm just about, you know, where as good as I'm going to get. What imprint? You know, our children, it's kind of funny, when they were little, and we still see it, you see a big word. Hippopotamus. Well, little Nathaniel, he doesn't call him hippopotamus. He calls him mus. That's the last thing he heard, right? Mus. Our children, instead of saying eyelash, when they were little, they started saying ashly. Instead of saying macaroni and cheese, they say Roni mac and cheese. Why? What happened? The last thing they heard was the best thing they remembered. They would turn things around. And so, an elephant would be a fent. Or, you know, something like that. Because I don't remember that big word, but I remember this part. Parents, the last mile of the race is going to be the first thing they remember.
Yes, that's good.
The ending of your race. Brother Jeff preached last week about stirring the coals. Solomon, at one time, was hot. He loved the Bible says he loved the Lord and walked in His commandments. He was hot for God. But it was the last leg of the race that Rehoboam caught. It was that ending of Solomon's life that most affected Rehoboam. Rehoboam wasn't affected by the other part. Not much. We need to be careful. Our children, our young people, are not going to be challenged by has-beens. As we get older, we don't have the energy we once had. Maybe we don't have the zeal we once had. Why? Well, energy is something we can't do anything about, but zeal we can do something about. Humility. You know, as you get older, sometimes they say that the older a person gets, the more... I've heard this by a lot of people. Oh, the older she gets, the more she becomes like her mother. The older he gets, the more he acts like his father. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah, you've heard that, haven't you? And so you start out in marriage loving one another because you both work trying to do what's right and trying to be what you ought to be. And as you grow old in marriage, if she becomes more like her mother and you become more like your father, sooner or later you get a divorce. Because you both become rigid in your ways. And you let me start showing through. You become set in your ways. You become hardened in your way. You become comfortable and self-satisfied with who I am. This is just who I am. That's what happened to Solomon. Solomon started out by saying, Lord, I'm a child. I can't lead this people. But he ended up saying, I know what to do. I've dealt with this before. I don't need to pray about this. I don't need to go ask the priest counsel. I don't need to read the Bible. I've done this before. Just do this. Grandparents, I'm one of those. What print are we going to have on the grandchildren? You know, I've heard stories of my grandpa when he was younger being zealous for the Lord and working in the church and different things, helping the preacher build the church and so forth. But when I was growing up, I never once saw him go to the altar. Not once. I never saw any humble hunger for righteousness. Zeal for righteousness. I never saw it. The imprint that my grandpa left on my life was not a good one. He was still in church. He'd outgrown. He was glad that we were in church. He was glad that we heard the preaching. But he'd heard that. This is nothing new to me. I've heard that 100 times. Woe unto us. Woe unto us if we pass on us and not pass on the Word of God. Let's stand. When your children look at you, they're going to see someone seeking God, or they're going to see someone self-satisfied. They're going to see you, or they're going to look at you and see you pointing them somewhere else. Somebody gave me a card one time of a father with his hand on his boy pointing in a direction. And when I got that card, I just latched on to that picture. It became a symbol for my life, and I put it on our newsletter along with a picture of the ark. The thought of a father putting his hand on his son's shoulder and pointing, directing him. You know what that tells me? That boy was not being directed to his father. The father was directing him to something else.
Yeah.
Are your children, when they look at you, are they receiving you, or are they being transferred to look somewhere else? That's so important, because that's what they're going to receive. Their memories of you are going to be memories of you pointing them towards God. Or they're going to be memories of you and your imprint. And if their wife someday says, "You're acting like your father," what's it going to mean? What's she going to say? Or, "You're acting just like your mother." What's that going to mean? It means that's what you passed on. Any thoughts before we pray?
Well, you know, this time, just scripture bears testimony to the fact in both of those accounts concerning Rehoboam that he inquired of the old man what counsel, what advice he gives me that I may answer these people. And then he goes to the young man and says, what do you say that we shall return an answer to these people? He groups himself with the young people,
right,
with the old people. Interesting to notice how he does that.
Right.
He identifies those as his people, whereas the old people, those are the old people that are, you can go listen to them if you want, but they're not really your, they're on a whole different generation.
Mm-hmm.
Your ideas. And it would have been easy to fall for what he did, because whatever Solomon did, it seemingly worked. He was prospering greatly, and wasn't that what God said he would do? He would prosper his people if they followed him. Therefore,
he was prospering, except at the end, he was building resentment in the people, and that's due to his change. When he was growing, the people weren't resentful. But once he plateaued and was maintaining his high lifestyle, he was building resentment, building animosity.
Put Rehoboam with the king of court, how much of that did he feel?
Yeah. Right.
All his peers thought it was great.
Everyone living off the taxes thought it was just the thing to do.
He probably thought, I'm the son of David, and if the throne's been promised to my family forever, they can't do anything about that. That's sad. But then when they stoned it,
system where poor people need the money. They have passed down that system to this day. It did not work. They have all together. That is not taught an idea like what you're preaching. What I do here affected all these children.
Right.
More the children than it does the parents.
Right.
Right.
So we watch the government for a sham when God wants us to be pulled up. But the only way you're going to be pulled up is because you were saved. God is pointing in another direction, and you're trying to show us that other direction. And that's where we need to keep our eyes.
Amen. We are also setting up a system here that will affect these children. And if it's God's word, then they're going to be blessed for many generations if they follow it. But if it's us, it's going to be a curse.
Right. Yeah. I want to take that image of the parents pointing their directing their child onto God. And I want to kind of modify it to the picture of that parent holding that child's hand and the parent moving in that same direction.
Right.
So pulling them along, pointing, but also moving himself that direction.
Amen. Amen. What we allow in moderation, they may allow in excess. They may be spiritually above that. They may rise above and reject us and cling to the Word of God, but we can't bank on that. We might be the very stumbling stone that causes their fall. So.
I want to